All right. Hi, everybody. It's RCFB Talk 77. We have a special guest who's going to be joining us this afternoon, Tulane head coach Willie Fritz. My name is Bob Akairi. I'm going to be joined by my co-hosts, JD Moore and Sirius, and we're going to go ahead and fire everything up right now. All right. So, Willie Fritz, we're looking forward to talking to him about the great start. Green Wave football, 3-0 with that big upset of K-State this past weekend, should be good.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Willie Fritz has had so many different successes at so many different levels of college football. And right now, Tulane is on an incredible season for right now. 3-0, this is the best season that they've had started since 1998 with that very famous team way back when. But of course, a huge upset over Kansas State this past Saturday, a 17-10 victory for the Green Wave. And of course, Willie Fritz is going to be coming up on here in just a moment. We're really excited to have him on board speaking with us.
All right. Well, Coach Fritz, thank you for joining us.
Can you guys hear
there
me?
There we go. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We have this incredible academic institution, but it took about three of us who didn't graduate from Tulane to get this all set up. So we should have brought someone from Tulane in here and we would have got it done in a hurry.
Hey, absolutely. But Coach, we really appreciate your time with you today. Obviously, you are off a huge win against Kansas State. You are on the best record for Tulane since that famous 1998 season. What are the vibes right now happening in your locker room as you're heading in to a big rivalry matchup this upcoming week?
Oh, we got a bunch of great kids. We got a lot really veteran squad. Before the season began, pro football focus, you can, pull up just about anything. And one of the things I pulled up was how many snaps did guys have at the Division I level. We had many, many guys that had played over 1,000 snaps in their collegiate career. So we've got a veteran squad. I think they understand that, we got to have the same preparation week in and week out. We went up there to Kansas State. Everybody, really believed we were going to win. That's the first part you got to have. Can't just have five or six guys thinking that way. And I think everybody really believed that we were going to win, and it was a hard-fought game from beginning to the end, and the guys competed throughout the ball game. And when the game got over, everybody was really excited. But on Sunday, I had to kick a bunch of these guys out of here because they were wanting to get started on Southern Miss. They've got this rule in the NCAA, you got to take a day off each week, and our day off is Sunday. So I'm just excited that they've handled this in an adult manner and want to do bigger and better things.
Absolutely love to hear that, Coach. And, I think it's remarkable to see again how strong you guys have started this season. I mean, your defense in particular has been amazing, only giving up 20 points on the year so far, shutting out teams in second halves, and your defense stopped the Kansas State Wildcats on fourth and short twice, again in the fourth quarter prior to your game-winning drive, held them to one on out of five attempts on fourth down for the whole game. What's been the difference maker so far for your defensive squad for this season?
Well, I had some new coaches last year. Chris Hampton's done just a phenomenal job with our defense. He's our defensive coordinator, and then all the assistant coaches, Josh Christian Young, Mike Moots, Travion Robertson, JJ McCleskey, everybody on the defensive side of the ball. The coaches have done a super job. I think our kids understand what we're doing. It's complex. Everything in football now is complex. You look at games from 20, 30 years ago, and everybody's running the same offense and the same defense and same special teams, and you just don't see that anymore. So our guys understand, but most importantly, we're tackling well. We're doing a good job playing with leverage, not allowing the ball to cross our face, and that's when the big runs and pass plays are produced. But I think that's been something with the experience, understanding the scheme, but also the technique that's so important in tackling and leverage and playing man coverage and getting off of blocks, all those things.
Coach, we were asked, it's interesting, by one of the K-State fans, how you guys were game planning for Adrian Martinez heading into last weekend's game.
Well, he's a really good quarterback, big guy, runs it well. you know, when you have a quarterback who can run it, you know, they don't have to run wildcat because he can run the football. And we ran the football a little bit more with our quarterback this past week as well. But, you know, just making sure that we had somebody responsible for him, you know, if it was a quarterback run. And that was tough because they got that great running back in Deuce Vaughn. And you had to make sure that you're ganging up on him as well. But, you know, when you got a quarterback who can run it, you kind of got to, you know, pick your poison. And, you know, we wanted to stop the run and make him throw the football. And we did a good enough job, you know, in coverage that they didn't have very many successful pass plays against us.
Coach, in that fourth quarter, in that final drive that gives Tulane the lead, you've got 4 minutes remaining. Tyrick Jones moves in motion, open in the flat to get the go-ahead and touchdown. What was the decision behind that specific call?
Been working on it all week. You know, it's during the course of the week, you work on high red zone. You know, everybody's got a different philosophy of where that's at, but it's usually between the, you know, the plus 10 and the plus 19 yard line. And then you start working low red, which is, you know, again, some people call that inside the 10-yard line. We talk about it being 6-7-yard line right in that area. But that was a play that we've been working on a bunch. And, you know, a good play call, you know, by our offensive coordinator, Jim Sobota, and good execution by the guys. And Michael threw a strike and a good catch by Tyreek. But that's something we've been working on.
You've utilized option schemes, balance schemes. How much have you had to adapt your offensive game planning to this year's Tulane squad?
Yeah, I used to be really heavy duty option. You know, we were a big time triple option team out of a gun and a lot of spread formations. We did that at Sam Houston State when we made some pretty good runs there, and then Georgia Southern we did it. And I got here and I had a hard time finding quarterbacks, you know, to be quite honest with you. So we evolved into, you know, running our quarterback, running some option scheme, but we're a little bit more like, you know, kind of everybody in college football now, where our option is kind of the RPO game. You know, you can run the ball and you're reading defensive backs and throwing the ball behind them if they vacate an area. So we're not running quite as much option as we have in the past, but I think you got to have it in your back pocket because it's just so difficult for teams to defend that. You know, when you're handing the ball off, you're really playing 10 on 11 football. And when you got the quarterback involved in the run game, you're playing 11 on 11, and that gives you a chance to be successful. But it's, you know, you got to weigh that against the possibility of your quarterback getting hit a bunch, you know, running the ball 10, 15, 20 times a game, which is what we used to do it at Sam Houston State and Georgia Southern. And but we don't do it as much as we did back in the past. We'll probably run, you know, 3, 4, 5 option plays with our quarterback. And matter of fact, we had a big play on that, you know, on our drive down the field. We you know, pulled one time, had the tight end out in space blocking, and had about a 25-yard run with it.
Coach, I know obviously with this win over Kansas State, that's got to hit a certain note in your heart based off of your history with the Sunflower State, not to mention your playing days at Pittsburgh State with the Gorillas. You're an alum, and you're also a former teammate of Arkansas head coach Sam Pittman. What kind of development did you go through at Pittsburgh State to develop you as a coach and the guy that you are today?
Oh, I think Sammy would say the same thing. You know, our coaches there were just outstanding. Our head coach was Ron Randleman. And, you know, I was an assistant coach for him for a long time at Sam Houston State as well. And you know, he comes to a lot of my games. He'll be here this weekend, as a matter of fact. He's retired now, and he and his wife have got a house over in Mississippi, and they come over to, you know, almost all my home games. And, you know, so he was a big role model for me, and one of the reasons why I got into coaching. Matter of fact, our defensive coordinator, when we played at Pittsburgh State, he was on the sideline Saturday at Kansas State. He still lives in Pittsburgh, Kansas, and drove up to the game. And I think, you know, we had great coaches. And, you know, I probably had, I don't know, seven, eight, nine former teammates that were at the game that played with me at Pittsburgh State that came to the game. So we're still a very close-knit group. We had a lot of success in college and really kind of my background a little bit more with Kansas State was I had some of my former players at Blinn Junior College that went up there and played. Michael Bishop played for me at Blinn Junior College. He's in their Ring of Honor. I actually took a picture before the game with Michael's name up in the background over my head. And then Quincy Morgan. Quincy was a great player, played in the NFL. I don't know, 8, 9, 10 years. Quincy played for me at Blinn as well. Went up, had a great career at Kansas State. But I haven't been back in a long time. I left the state in 1982. And I guess I coached a year of high school ball at Shawnee Mission Northwest, my high school alma mater. I haven't been back in the state of Kansas since that time. So it'd been a long time since I'd been back on, vacations. But as far as playing a game, it's the first time I played a game there.
Coach, with that kind of return, obviously you're going to have a lot of different emotions when you get to go turn in and have that type of emotion when you get to go play back in that field again. With your defense and being able to keep that really strong second energy half, I know that you obviously have to have some emotions when you're doing it, but your guys who are out hitting on the field, they obviously got to have that kind of emotion too when they're getting into the half. What's been your approach in keeping up their energy in the second half to keep their opponents from coming back into the game and ultimately closing out in these types of games?
Well, all the cliches, I guess, play the next play, move on from a mistake, move on from a great play. I think sometimes people sit around and they revel in past successes or they sit around pot like a baby over failures and you're not going to be the best you can play. And that goes with every single play of the game. If you play, 80 snaps in a game and 75 of them are really good and 5 of them aren't very good, you might have played a really poor game, depending on the outcome of those 5 plays that weren't very good. So we just try to get our guys to have that mindset. And we have pretty up-tempo practices. I think that's important. I do think you're going to play how you prepare. And we pride ourselves in preparing the same way every single week. Again, that's kind of something I got from Coach Randleman. That's what we try to get with our guys, I've learned, I remember when I first became a head coach, I had a great pregame talk our first game and we went out and won. And a few weeks later, I had a better pregame talk and we got our butts kicked, So I learned that really doesn't matter. It's the preparation during the course of the week is what's going to, help you play to the best of your ability.
Coach, one thing I've been wanting to ask you, it's the 50th anniversary of Title IX this year. And your father, Harry Fritz, was really important in advancing the cause of women's college athletics. He was a co-author of, most people may not realize this, he was the co-author of the original constitution of the Association of Intercollegiate Athletics for Women, which, until 1980 was the primary organization for women's college sports until the NCAA finally added it for women in 81-82. How inspirational has he been for you in going into sports and coaching?
Tell you what, you've done your homework. God almighty.
We try indeed.
I'm very proud of that. And, I went to college, as you said before, at Pittsburgh State, and all the women coaches down there just loved my father, they'd always come up and talk to me and I didn't realize it at the time, why they thought so highly of him. I just thought maybe because he's in charge of the NAI or something like that. But, years later you start finding out that, he was at the, forefront of giving equal rights for women in collegiate athletics, which wasn't the case. And one of my sisters was an athlete at Western Illinois University, and I had another sister who was a great swimmer at Mizzou, and this was before the NCAA, had women's athletics. We were very proud of the fact that he was, at the beginning of, you know, having equal rights and opportunities for women. Thank you for bringing that up.
Oh, you know, and he obviously, he was a coach as well. I know he coached at least one season at Central Missouri, where you were a head coach for many years. This is a very successful head coach at that level. But he also went into administration. Has that ever been tempting to you? I mean, you mentioned, you know, he was ahead of the NAIA for a while there, but also, you know, AD at Western Illinois as well. Has that ever been something you've considered, going to administration one day, or do you prefer being a head coach?
Oh, I like coaching. You know, I like, you know, being involved with student athletes and helping them succeed in life. And, you know, there really isn't a day goes by that I don't talk to, you know, one, two, three of my former athletes. You know, I had a couple calls last night from a couple guys who played for me. Today I got an email from a guy that played for me in 87 at Coffeyville Community College, you know, and, you know, he's at the game. I just hear from guys all the time, and you hope you have a positive impact. And that's a real reason why you get into it. You want to win. Don't get me wrong. But you can win and do it the right way, and that's what we're wanting to do here at Tulane and every place that I've been at.
Talking about your past stops along your career, we had some fans commenting how you know, you made a video for Samson State's 10-year anniversary of the 2012 team, and how much programs they've been able to work their way up and go into the FBS ranks. Can you tell us a little bit about the time there and what it means to see that team now make its step up into you know, kind of the big leagues of FBS competition?
You know, really, you know, I got a degree from Sam Houston. Two of my kids have got degrees from Sam Houston State. You know, my wife and I loved every place that we've been. We've been in a lot of different places. And that was special with them getting recognized in the 2012 team. It kind of – Coach Randall had done a fantastic job there at Sam Houston. It kind of fell on hard times for a few years, and we were able to pick it back up. And Coach Keeler's done an excellent job there also. But, you know, one of the funnest times I had was a few years ago when a bunch of schools, you know, a bunch of levels played in the football in the spring. You know, and I was able to go. I had reunions at Coffeyville Community College, where I was the D coordinator. They were playing in the spring. And then we had a reunion at Blinn Junior College, and then we had one at Sam Houston State. I never get to go to games. You know, I'm always working on Saturdays. So that's probably one of the only things I'm really looking forward to when I retire here in 20 years is being able to go to games and see a bunch of my old players. But, you know, that was really special. We had, I think we had 50, 60 guys that came to the reunion at Blinn. And then we had a ton of guys at Coffeyville Community College that reunion. And it coincided with, I coached for a great guy named Dick Foster there. And we had a service for him. He passed away a few months before. And then at Sam Houston, I mean, we must have had, I don't know, 100 guys that were at this deal. So, you know, neat place, neat school. You know, my kids got a great education there, and so did I when I was a graduate assistant back in the early 80s. So, you know, love the old Bearcats.
Coach, I know that you are sensitive on time, so I'm going to ask one last question before we go ahead and let you go. You obviously coach in Nolens, which is one of the greatest food cities in the world. When you get
an name of the city too, you said it, Nolens. There you go.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But when you are out and about and you get the opportunity to go get a bite somewhere, where are you normally going for some good, high quality Louisiana food?
I can't name one place. I want to name a few. Okay. Katie's is unbelievable. There's the guy who runs the place, Scott, is a big Tulane fan, comes to almost all of our games. But they've got an Oyster Schlesinger. It's actually named after Mark Schlesinger, head basketball coach at UNO. But it is unbelievable. Great place to eat. If you come to town, you need to go by Katie's. There's another place I love going, and that's Giacomo's. I'm a fried chicken junkie, and I think they got the best fried chicken in town. And they've got a little casserole called alligator crawfish and shrimp cheesecake. And it's served like a piece of cheesecake. It's It's I think it's calorie free. No, I think it's probably 5. Yeah, but great place. And then when I get a steak, I go to this place called Mr. John's. A guy who owns the place is a guy named Desi Vega. He's got a bunch of restaurants here in town. He's a former Tulane baseball player. So, and the guy who owns Giacomo's is a Tulane graduate as well. But so there's just I left out a bunch of places. There's, you know, you can't go wrong in the city. There's I've probably been to 100 different restaurants and have had 100 great meals.
I got to agree with you there. You can't go wrong in New Orleans. Well, Coach, we know your time is valuable. Thanks for stopping by to talk to us, and good luck this week.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on. Roll wave.
Roll wave.
All right. Well, thanks to all of you who joined us today. This was our CFB Talk 77. We just had Tulane head coach Willie Fritz. So on behalf of myself, Bob Akhayeri, J.D. Moore, and Sirius, who had some audio issues today, thanks for joining us, and now I'm going to hang up and listen.